Good to see Larry back. I thought he was still locked up, but I guess he got out. Your foot healing up well? Is your foot healing up well?
Yeah.
That's good. I need a volunteer. Kirsten, you want to volunteer? David. Noah. Noah's the volunteer this morning? Oh, yes. Fine, I'll do it myself.
Do you want me to volunteer, Pastor Bob?
No, no thanks, Linda. Thanks for volunteering, though, Linda, but maybe next time. We have any praises this morning? Jim, praise or prayer, either one.
Our daughter's having knee surgery tomorrow, both knees. So we'd like prayers for her.
Karen is her name. So if she has an issue, she needs to talk to Kathy, because Kathy, I think, is going through that. Right, Kathy? Double knee?
Piece of cake.
Piece of cake, she says. Okay. Pray for Linda Dorn's daughter. She's in the hospital again. She's had issues with breathing and pneumonia and those kind of things. And for Leslie's family, they're praying for some decisions there, what needs to be done with her. I saw her yesterday. So keep praying for that situation for Leslie. And I think Lois Lachey, and for those who have lost loved ones recently, this can be a hard time.
I like the church to remember a friend of mine. His name is Chris Weehe. We worked together on the Short East Side for a long time, and I got notification through Facebook that he fell and broke his ribs, his pelvis, and his back. And he's in Riverside Hospital, and when I called and checked on him, he was heavily sedated, and I haven't had a chance to go see this man. But I can just imagine the pain he is receiving, because I don't know if he was on a ladder. I don't know what happened. But life is short.
Well, we've had a wonderful last couple weeks battling COVID, but I really am so thankful because you guys have prayed and sent cards, and we've just received so many blessings as we've gone through that. And I praise God that we're back through it. Yesterday, we celebrated a man that I love, his birthday, and I'm so thankful for his godly, the way that, if you had known him many years ago like I did, you would just say, man, this man has been with the Lord. And I can see and have experienced this wonderful man, so I'm celebrating his life. I'm also just celebrating the church body and just the way God speaks to you. I've been kind of sick and haven't been praying much about who would fill in for our nursery. And but God is speaking, and God has spoken, and God has already just been saying, I've got this, and laid it on someone's heart to take and fill in for our nursery. And I'm so thankful that you listen, that you pray, and that God is leading and growing our church.
Well, Chris has a birthday, too, coming up Tuesday, so don't let her get past that on you.
So my pain has been worse recently, and I just want to pray that you guys could, pray that I know what decision to make, because there are two options for treatment at this point, and I'm not really sure what to pick. So just pray for that.
Okay, let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for bringing us here once again today. You know all these different requests, Lord, for Alex and for Leslie and for Larry's healing and for Randy's friend and just all the different requests, Lord, that you brought before us today. I'm sure there's many more that were not spoken that we're thinking of, and family and friends and lost loved ones. I know Larry just lost his mom recently, and all the different ones that have passed away, Ray Wysong and my mom and different ones, Lord, that have passed on to be with you. And we look forward to seeing them again. We look forward to rejoicing with them, hugging them, holding hands, and dancing around and laughing and singing and all kinds of things together, knowing that it's going to be a reunion, that they're not gone forever, but we'll be with them forever. So we just thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for giving us another day of life, for waking up this morning. Pray be with Jim's daughter with the knee surgeries coming up. And pray for Leslie as well and her situation, that they can decide what's going to happen according to your will and what you want in this situation, Lord. And none of these choices or decisions are ever easy. We just pray that we'll make the right ones. Be with Alex, Lord, help her in the choices she has to make. That you'll guide and direct her and give her strength. And we ask for healing for her physical body. And be with those who can't be with us this morning. Just guide and direct them. Touch them, Lord. This morning, help us to be a hospital for those who are sick, for those who need you, a helping hand to those who need help and a shoulder to lean on if they need a shoulder to lean on. Help us to be community for Christ. And it's not about us, it's about you. And just help us to reach out and bring those who are lost into your kingdom. Be with all the churches today that are having services. May they be blessed and may you be in the presence of them. Be with Donna as well, as we think of her this morning, and just other ones. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Come forward, pass out the elements, get ready for communion. Passing the elements out, I'm just going to share a little devotion this morning to remind us about the Lord's Supper, that we can be refreshed, hopefully spiritually. It's time to reflect on our lives, and what we need to do is to draw close to the Lord, and we need to remember and confess any known sin that we have this past week or this month or this year, whatever it may be. Lord's Supper is about Jesus and his grace, and the Bible says communion is a privilege only for his children who are walking with him. So if you're a believer and you know you're in a place of willful disobedience, this is the time to make it right with the Lord and say, God, I've messed up, I've done wrong, I ask for your forgiveness for the things that I've done or thought or said, so that you're right before him. For most of us following Christ this morning, it's the reality that we come in here Sunday bringing our burdens and our pains in here, and we need God to refresh us, to give us grace, to help us be renewed, be able to carry on. We bring our doubts and our fears, and we need God to grant us assurance that he's there. And we're aware of our sins and how messy they can be, and we need the gospel to free us. We need to apply it to our lives and to our hearts. That's exactly why God gave us communion as a reminder, to remember what Christ did for us. This isn't what we do once we've gotten things on our end right, but it's what we do to remind us how to get things right, that he made things right for us, and we confess our sins to him, and he makes us clean. We ask his blood to cover us, protect us. But the Lord's Supper is an act of our faith where we say, God, you're the answer, and you're the only answer. Nothing else out there is going to help me with my problems, take care of my needs, comfort me, give me strength, help me get through situations that are tough. But as we eat and drink this morning, we need to be aware that Jesus is still sufficient today for our sins, for his grace, and any situation we're up against. As we take the bread and the juice, reminds us that his body was broken, his blood was shed for us. So Jesus said, come all who are thirsty, who are weak, who are wounded, who are aware of their sin and need grace, and need forgiveness, and need help. That he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it, and he said, this is my body broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me, so let's take and eat together. In the same way, he took the cup and he said, this is my blood shed for you, for the gift forgiveness of sins, so let's take and drink together. Father, we thank you so much for dying on the cross for us. We know you're not there. They took you down, they put you in the grave, and you rose again. You came back to life, breaking the power of sin and death, giving us the opportunity to be saved from hell and damnation, to be able to go to heaven for eternity. Giving us the opportunity to be healed from our sickness and disease and hardship and sorrow. Giving us an eternity to be in heaven with you and our loved ones. We praise you for that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Okay, we got it now. Yeah, don't forget Pam Van Horn has COVID as well. I think it's her third time. My wife had it her third time as well, so. For me, once was enough. I don't want to get it again, so. I don't think Sam has it yet. He may not get it again. I don't know. You just never know, do you, if you're going to get it or not get it. But. Well, we just celebrated Veterans Day yesterday, November 11th. Unlike Memorial Day, when we honor those who died while serving, Veterans Day celebrates all who are serving and have served. We know it was originally called Armistice Day, commemorating the end of World War I on the 11th month, the 11th day, the 11th minute, after the 11th hour. But it was expanded in 1954 to honor and celebrate all who served in our armed forces during times of war and peace. So we owe a great debt to our veterans, don't we? And not just veterans, but their families who supported them. So if you're a veteran today, could you stand up? We say thank you for your service, for fighting for our freedom to allow us to be free, and for your sacrifice. You sacrificed being away from family and friends and birthdays and Christmases and all kinds of things that happened during those times, seeing all kinds of horrific ravages of war that happened. But it seems we don't always learn, do we? Somebody always out there still wants to fight about something and have destruction. And anyway, this morning we're talking about an expanded term for veterans, those who are actively serving in the army of the Lord, or soldiers of the cross. So those who are Christians who are serving in God's army, we're talking about us this morning. In his army, Paul reminds us in Ephesians 5:6-12, our struggle's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. So sometimes we can't even see our enemy, can we? He's out there working all over the place, doing all kinds of things that we don't necessarily see or know, but we know God's there. We know we're in a battle. And the grim reality is that as soldiers of the Lord's army, we face a continual battle. There's no peacetime, no armistice, right? We're always at war in a daily battle. But we know who our commander is, don't we? We know who our leader is, who our chief is. David E. Owen says, we need to ask ourselves, am I a soldier of the cross? The Apostle Paul and those who first read his epistles would have been acquainted with the concept of military, because the presence of professional soldiers in Rome in the army could be found everywhere the early Christians were. They would see these guys around. And when Paul used a military metaphor to describe the Christian life, something that people understood. So when we say a soldier, or Air Force, or Marines, or Army, we know what that means, right? They would have known the same kind of thing that was the Roman soldier. It was a great honor to be a Roman soldier, to be branded with the hot iron to identify him as a soldier. And the scar from a war wound was also something to be proud of. It was such a soldier's brand or scar that Paul has in mind when he says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord. Think of all the times he was beaten and whipped and stoned and all the things that happened to him for the sake of representing Christ. And we have some of those kind of scars, maybe not physical, sometimes they're emotional scars, right? Sometimes they're mental scars. They're the kind of scars we may have that people have abused us because we know Christ or shared about Christ or decided to follow Christ. But Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, warn them that are unruly. The word unruly is the idea of a soldier who's undisciplined or disorderly or has gotten out of the ranks. He tells us not to be unruly. There are several places in the New Testament that talk about a soldier or the idea of a soldier. In Philippians 2:25, Paul says Epaphroditus is his fellow soldier. Second verse of Philemon, Paul referred to Archippus as a fellow soldier. So if you're a fellow soldier, that must mean that Paul was a soldier as well, right? In the battle for Christ, in the battle of Christ, in the battle with others that were against Christ. Ephesians 6:10 and 13, Paul says this, finally be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, powers of this dark world against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. There's no soldier that goes to battle in his underwear. Right? I mean, if you do, you're in trouble. You're going to put on everything you can to protect yourself. And he's telling us, put on everything you can, your armor, the belt of truth, and all the things about talks about the armor of God, to be ready. And then when you got everything on, then stand. Don't run away. Don't back off. Stand and hold your line so the enemy can't break through. We talk about standing in the gap. When somebody falls, somebody else steps up. We need that to happen today, especially with our young people, don't we? A lot of the old soldiers are out there holding their swords and spears, standing up. But they're not going to be there forever. Somebody else needs to step in. We need to prepare the next generation to step in and stand in and take over, because times are going to get tough. We see battles all around us today, don't we? But we can't get discouraged, because we know who's in charge. We know who's going to win. We know who has the victory in the end, whether they see it or not. We know what our side knows. We need to follow orders, stand our ground, stand up for things that are right and things that are godly. Some of these elections and things we've had taking place, we don't agree with some of the things that are happening. But we need to still stand our ground and say, this is what's right. I'm going to stand on this, right? Whether everybody else says it's wrong, I'm still going to stand on it, because I know this is what God wants me to do and say, and be supportive and loving to those who have different ideas and opinions, but yet not be afraid to say, this is what God says that we should do or believe. Doesn't mean you can't love somebody that believes different than you. You can love them to the Lord. Doesn't mean you compromise your stand, though. So you can see there are a lot of military terms used to describe this Christian experience. And the one we're going to look at this morning is in 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says, then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And the things you have heard from me, say this in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable people who will be qualified to teach others. Join me in the suffering like a good soldier of Christ. So what does he say there? Tell other people that are reliable. Tell your family, your friends, your grandkids, your neighbors, what you believe and why you believe it, so that they can know and maybe pass that on. So Paul says, join me in suffering like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No matter what the war, there's always suffering, even for the winners, right? The ones you've lost, the ones who are hurt, the ones who are maimed in the battle. There's going to be hardship. There's going to be death. But good soldiers carry on. For our cause in Christ, spreading the gospel, is our motivation for others to be saved. And he goes on to give some advice. He says, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in the civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. That means you can't be both. You can't be a civilian and a soldier. There's two different things. His instruction here is not to get caught up in things that are secondary to our mission, not to get entangled with the affairs of life. You can't be on the battlefield and living at home. When you're in the battle, you're in the battle, right? That's your main focus. That's what's in front of you. That's what you're supposed to be focusing on. And then when you get home, you can focus on that. John MacArthur said, a soldier is a soldier 24 hours a day, every day of the year. Consequently, he's separated from his normal environment so that he will not entangle himself in the affairs of everyday life. Entangle himself translates to a passive form of empleco, which literally means to weave. So Paul's not speaking about things necessarily that they're wrong in themselves. But a soldier, not saying a soldier can't have contact with friends, but you can't get caught up in those kind of things. Can't get caught up in what's happening in the civilian life, because they're irrelevant to soldiering and are always subject to being relinquished. So in the same way, a good soldier in Christ refuses to allow earthly matters to interfere with the fulfillment of his duty. Did you ever have the Lord tell you to do something and your family member said, you can't do that. You shouldn't be doing that. How can you do that? You don't have this, or you're not doing this and that. You need to say, well, thanks for your opinion, but this is what God wants me to do. And then you do it, right? A lot of people have different opinions, ideas. You should do this, you shouldn't do that. You need to make sure that what you're doing is what God wants you to do. Everybody has advice. But you want advice from him saying, what should I do in this situation? We got people asking that question today, don't we? What should I do? What am I supposed to do? You say, God, give me a peace. Guide me through this. Our goal is to please our commander, Jesus Christ. As a soldier of Christ, we're in agreement with him. We follow his orders. When he tells you to do, you don't question it. What do you mean? What do you mean you want me to do that? I want you to do that. Well, I'm not really sure you know what you're talking about. Who's the commander here? Me or you? Can you imagine an army with people underneath the commanders that kept questioning everything they said to do? We're going to go fight here. Well, I don't really think I think we should attack this way. Well, I think we should attack this way. And the commander says, no, we're going to attack this way, and this is what you're going to do. Follow your training. Your instincts will kick in. Whatever happens, you've been trained. You know what to do. So John MacArthur also said this. The strong desire to please other people is an integral characteristic of the fall of man. We all want to try to please everybody. You ever try to do that? Doesn't work. Doesn't work in our family either. One person wants sloppy joes. One person wants tacos. One person wants chicken. One person like what? You know? You can't please everybody. So you know what you say? This is what we're having. If you're hungry, eat it. If not, bring your own. You can't please everybody, right? You need to go along with what our Lord tells us to do in that situation, our commander. It says, and because of the continued influence of the old self, every Christian is tempted to be a man pleaser. We like to be liked, don't we? Like that people say, oh, that's such a good person. They're so great. Oh, yeah, that was nice. But it doesn't always happen, does it? Anybody ever get mad at you? If you say no, you're lying. Everybody's had somebody get mad at them for something, even something you didn't do wrong, and they're mad at you. You're like, what are you mad at me for? Like, I didn't even do that. Russ, quit shaking your head. I didn't do it. It's misunderstanding. We become more concerned of our fellow workers, our neighbors, our friends, than pleasing the Lord. And because of that, inevitably, it leads to moral and spiritual decline, because pleasing the world, including worldly Christians, demands a compromise of God's truth and his standards and personal holiness. It demands forsaking Christ as our first love and putting something else at his place. As a soldier of the cross, our first duty is to serve Christ, fighting for the good, so that we can finish well. Everybody wants to finish well, don't we? They finish well, they do a good job. Spurgeon said, from the hour of our spiritual birth, the sworn enemies of sin, the enlisted warriors of the cross, to fight on for Jesus till life's latest hour. And we should look upon every young convert as a recruit, not merely as one who's been himself saved, but as having within his newborn nature the possibility of a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? No matter what age you are, once you accept Christ, you're in God's army. You can make a difference, right? You can share with other kids. You can share with grandparents. And maybe your parents don't want to say anything, but the kid's like, Grandma, did you know that Jesus loves you? And you're like, oh, that's nice. You know what I mean? So there's kids put in places to be used that we can't necessarily be in that God uses. He uses all of us, young and old alike. So we ask the question, am I a soldier of the cross? If we are, there's an enlistment in the Lord's army. That could mean hardship, could mean sorrow, could mean suffering. But we know what the end of the battle is. All the training you go through, all the efforts, all the things you have to go through in life. You think, why is this happening to me? I wish this was over with. I said that 2 weeks ago when I couldn't swallow and I had that COVID. I'm like, what is going on? Can't you just heal me now and be done with this? But you know what that does? It causes you to depend upon him. Say, God, I know you can get me through this. I know you can help me. Whatever it may be, family situation, surgery, whatever it is, God, you're going to get me through. The problem is we always expect that to happen now in this life, right? He says, I'm going to heal you, but he doesn't say I'm going to heal you on earth. Sometimes that healing takes place in heaven, doesn't it? When we get a new body. And as a Christian, when somebody passes away, that's the assurance that we have that gives us hope in saying they're going to be no longer suffering, no longer in pain, no longer having trouble swallowing or breathing or eating. They're going to be perfect. And we're going to see them again someday. So in the same way a soldier patiently endures hardships in the battlefield, we have to endure hardships that come our way as a result of our faith in Christ. Adam Scott said, here the apostle may not be referring to a soldier on the field of battle engaged in conflict with the enemy, but his exhortation to Timothy is not to fight well, but to endure, to keep fighting, to keep going, to keep pushing. We play soccer on Sundays in Granville. You can come if you want. Anybody's invited. We have some guys over there that are annoying because they don't stop. They run, and they run, and they run, and they run. And you're like, can't you just get off me and leave me alone? But they chase you everywhere you go. They're always running, which for soccer within the Christian life is a good quality. Keep pursuing and pursuing and pursuing, and don't give up because God wants us to keep going. He talks about the soldier being drilled and disciplined for a fight. And as a prisoner of Rome, Paul probably saw a lot of soldiers, the training, the discipline that happened. And he knew they were true patriots laying down their lives for their country. Timothy was an apostle and a soldier, but of a different kind. He wasn't from Caesar's army. He wasn't waging war on people. He was waging war on sin in society that was going against Christ. And he had a duty to do. Dr. John Phillips said this, when I was 18 years old, I was drafted into the British Army. In boot camp, we raw recruits were turned into soldiers by being taught to endure hardness. The officers instilled into us the Army's concept of discipline and obedience. We endured hours of drilling, endless parades, long route marches, constant pressure, tasteless food, guard duty, bullying by sergeants, lectures, exposure to inclement weather. The whole procedure was designed to toughen us up, to make us into obedient soldiers. The Roman soldiers in Paul's day were the toughest, the most disciplined, most efficient soldiers in the world. And he tells Timothy, be a soldier for Jesus Christ. That's the army that we're in. We need to learn to endure hardness. And a good soldier doesn't quit because he faces difficult tasks or dangerous situations, because he knows that his life is expendable. And he must prepare to lay it down when required. Do you ever think your life's expendable? We're expendable, aren't we? We don't live forever. We're not going to be here. But do as much with your life as you can while you have it. Do as much with your voice as you can while you have it. Pray as much as you can while you can. God doesn't hand out brochures talking about the fringe benefits of becoming a Christian. But we know that as soldiers engaged in the battle, we're going to fight until the Lord comes. And an embattled warrior, prisoner of war, could be sentenced to death, but remain faithful until the end. The career soldier is proud to be in God's army. It's nice to see the Veterans Day parades, isn't it, where they get to wear all their medals and everything they did and all the different things that they have for their accomplishments to be reminded. I have a little slide here, a little song, about 2 minutes. Have you ever heard this one? The kids' one. We're going to play it this morning. And if you want to march in the infantry and ride all that stuff, you know, you can do that if you want. Yep.
I'm in the
Everybody should be singing that, from Christians to grandpas and grandmas. We're all in the Lord's army, aren't we? We may not be in the actual fighting physically, but spiritually we're right in the battle. We're right in the battle, right? Knocking off all their arrows and getting rid of all the things they're trying to shoot at us. But you know there's no honorable discharge from active duty during this lifetime? Because we all serve until the day we go to heaven. We're not ever discharged from that. But we're offered complete life insurance. No need for medical benefits, because there's going to be no more sickness or death or mourning or pain or crying. And the only scars in heaven that you're going to have are the ones that you can see on the hands of Jesus. Recruitment into either army, ours or Christ, is voluntary. There's no forced draft. We all volunteer in his kingdom. We both send out soldiers into the battle every day. America recruits targets specifically that they want to be in their army, and Jesus invites everybody to come to his army. He says, come follow me, you who are weak and weary and heavy laden, come and I'll give you rest. But he also says he'll give us strength to carry on, doesn't he? So are you a soldier of the cross today? Are you in the Lord's army? If not, you say, Jesus, come into my heart and make me part of that army. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for being with us, for your word, for the music, for those who are here with requests, Lord, that you're going to answer in your time and in your way. Help us to be in your army, Lord, even though we're not in the infantry or the army or flying around or whatever it may be physically. Spiritually, Lord, we're in a battle. And we fight for you, and we ask for your strength each day to carry on until you call us home in your name. Amen.
Pastor, before you go down, let's sing, shall we? And Chris, would you come up? It's your birthday too, right? Next week? Thank the Lord. Maycene's birthday? Okay, hold up a sign how old you are and we'll be all set. Let's go. Here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Pastor. Happy birthday to you. Amen. Aren't we thankful for them? Let's close out with a song, Shelby. I worship you, Almighty God. Amen. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you praise. For you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. Father, this morning we ask that we leave with your blessing. We've heard from your word, heard from your servant, Lord. And we pray that we'll live our lives this week in a new way, in a new fresh way, realizing that we are in a battle, that you've asked us to lead the way so people can know Jesus Christ. We pray that you go forward this week in Jesus' name. Amen.